Hare Krishna. This is a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, with translations and purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Third Canto, Chapter 32, Entanglement and Fruitive Activities. Texts 1 through 11. As a reminder, these podcasts are audio companions to a free online study at our website, sadhusanghaonline.com. If you would like to delve deeper into studying Srimad Bhagavatam with other devotees, please join us. These podcasts and our online study series are made possible by contributions from devotees. To offer your support, please use the links on our website homepage or send donations through PayPal to sadhusanghaonline@gmail.com. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32. Entanglement and Fruitive Activities. Text 1. The Personality of Godhead said, "The person who lives in the center of household life derives material benefits by performing religious rituals, and thereby he fulfills his desire for economic development and sense gratification. Again and again, he acts the same way." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are two kinds of householders. One is called the Grihamedi, and the other is called the Grihastha. The objective of the Grihamedi is sense gratification, and the objective of the Grihastha is self-realization. Here the Lord is speaking about the Grihamedi, or the person who wants to remain in this material world. His activity is to enjoy material benefits by performing religious rituals for economic development, and thereby, ultimately, satisfy the senses. He does not want anything more. Such a person works very hard throughout his life to become very rich, and eat very nicely, and drink. By giving some charity for pious activity, he can go to a higher planetary atmosphere in the heavenly planets in his next life. But he does not want to stop the repetition of birth and death and finish with the concomitant miserable factors of material existence. Such a person is called the Grihamedi. A Grihastha is a person who lives with family, wife, children, and relatives, but has no attachment for them. He prefers to live in family life rather than as a mendicant or a sannyasi, but his chief aim is to achieve self-realization or to come to the standard of Krishna consciousness. Here, however, Lord Kapila is speaking about the Grihamedis, who have made their aim the materialistically prosperous life, which they achieve by sacrificial ceremonies, by charities, and by good work. They are posted in good positions, and since they know that they are using up their assets of pious activities, they again and again perform activities of sense gratification. It is said by Prahlad Maharaj, "Puna punas charvita charvananam." They prefer to chew the already chewed. Again and again they experience the material pangs, even if they are rich and prosperous, but they do not want to give up this kind of life. Text 2. Such persons are ever bereft of devotional service due to being too attached to sense gratification, and therefore although they perform various kinds of sacrifices and take great vows to satisfy the demigods and forefathers, they are not interested in Krishna consciousness, devotional service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said that persons who worship demigods have lost their intelligence. Kamaistaistier hitya gyanaha. They are much attached to sense gratification, and therefore they worship the demigods. It is, of course, recommended in the Vedic scriptures that if one wants money, health, or education, that he should worship various demigods. The materialistic person has many-fold demands, and thus there are many-fold demigods to satisfy his senses. The Grihamedis, who want to continue a prosperous materialistic way of life, generally worship the demigods, or the forefathers, by offering pinda, or respectful oblations. Such persons are bereft of Krishna consciousness and are not interested in devotional service to the Lord. This kind of so-called pious and religious man is the result of impersonalism. The impersonalists maintain that the Supreme Absolute Truth has no form, and that one can imagine any form he likes for his benefit and worship in that way. Therefore, the Grihamedis, or materialistic men, say that they can worship any form of a demigod as worship of the Supreme Lord. Especially amongst the Hindus, those who are meat eaters prefer to worship the goddess Kali, because it is prescribed that one can sacrifice a goat before that goddess. They maintain that whether one worships the goddess Kali, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, or any demigod, the destination is the same. This is first-class rascaldom, and such people are misled. But they prefer this philosophy. Bhagavad Gita does not accept such rascaldom, and it is clearly stated that such methods are meant for persons who have lost their intelligence. The same judgment is confirmed here. And the word kama mudha, meaning that one who has lost his sense or is infatuated by the lust and attraction for sense gratification, is used. Kama mudhas are bereft of Krishna consciousness and devotional service and are infatuated by a strong desire for sense gratification. The worshippers of demigods are condemned, both in Bhagavad Gita and in Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 3. Such materialistic persons, attracted by sense gratification and devoted to the forefathers and demigods, can be elevated to the moon, where they drink an extract of the soma plant. They again return to this planet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The moon is considered one of the planets of the heavenly kingdom. One can be promoted to this planet by executing different sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature, such as pious activities in worshipping the demigods and forefathers with rigidity and vows. But one cannot remain there for a very long time. Life on the moon is said to last 10,000 years, according to the calculation of the demigods. The demigod's time is calculated in such a way that one day, 12 hours, is equal to 6 months on this planet. It is not possible to reach the moon by any material vehicle, like a Sputnik, but persons who are too attracted by material enjoyment can go to the moon by pious activities, In spite of being promoted to the moon, however, one has to come back to this earth again when the merits of his works in sacrifice are finished. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.21. Te tam bhukta svarga lokam vishalam, kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. Text 4. All the planets of the materialistic persons, including all the heavenly planets, such as the moon, are vanquished when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, goes to his bed of serpents, which is known as Anantasesha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The materially attached are very eager to promote themselves to the heavenly planets, such as the moon. There are many heavenly planets to which they aspire just to achieve more and more material happiness by getting a long duration of life and the paraphernalia for sense enjoyment. But the attached persons do not know that even if one goes to the highest planet, Brahmaloka, destruction exists there also. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that one can even go to the Brahmaloka, but still he will find the pangs of birth, death, disease, and old age. Only by approaching the Lord's abode, the Vaikuntha Loka, does one not take birth again in this material world. The Grihamedis, or materialistic persons, however, do not like to use this advantage. They would prefer to transmigrate perpetually from one body to another or from one planet to another. They do not want the eternal, blissful life and knowledge in the kingdom of God. There are two kinds of disillusions. One disillusion takes place at the end of the life of Brahma. At that time, all the planetary systems, including the heavenly systems, are dissolved in water and enter into the body of Garbhodakshay Vishnu, who lies on the Garbhodaka ocean on the bed of serpents, called Sesha. In the other disillusion, which occurs at the end of Brahma's day, all the lower planetary systems are destroyed. When Brahma rises after his night, these lower planetary systems are again created. The statement of Bhagavad Gita that persons who worship the demigods have lost their intelligence is confirmed in this verse. These less intelligent persons do not know that even if they are promoted to the heavenly planets, at the time of disillusion, they themselves, the demigods, and all their planets will be annihilated. They have no information that eternal, blissful life can be attained. Text 5. Those who are intelligent and are of purified consciousness are completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Freed from the modes of material nature, they do not act for sense gratification. Rather, since they are situated in their own occupational duties, they act as one is expected to act. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The first class example of this type of man is Arjuna. Arjuna was a kshatriya, and his occupational duty was to fight. Generally, kings fight to extend their kingdoms, which they rule for sense gratification. But as far as Arjuna is concerned, he declined to fight for his own sense gratification. He said that although he could get a kingdom by fighting with his relatives, he did not want to fight with them. But when he was ordered by Krishna and convinced by the teachings of Bhagavad Gita that his duty was to satisfy Krishna, then he fought. Thus he fought not for his sense gratification, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons who work at their prescribed duties, not for sense gratification, but for the gratification of the Supreme Lord, are called Nishanga, freed from the influence of the modes of material nature. Nyasta Karmana indicates that the results of their activities are given to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such persons appear to be acting on the platform of their respective duties. But such activities are not performed for personal sense gratification. Rather, they are performed for the Supreme Person. Such devotees are called prashanta, which means completely satisfied. Shuddha Chetasa means Krishna conscious. Their consciousness has become purified. In unpurified consciousness, one thinks of himself as the Lord of the universe. And in purified consciousness, one thinks of himself as the eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Putting oneself in that position of eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord and working for him perpetually, one actually becomes completely satisfied. As long as one works for his personal sense gratification, he will always be full of anxiety. That is the difference between ordinary consciousness and Krishna consciousness. Text 6. By executing one's occupational duties, acting with detachment and without a sense of proprietorship or false egoism, one is posted in one's constitutional position by dint of complete purification of consciousness. And by thus executing so-called material duties, he can easily enter into the kingdom of God. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here the word nivritti dharma nirata means constantly engaging and executing religious activities for detachment. There are two kinds of religious performances. One is called pravritti dharma, which means the religious activities performed by the Grihamedis for elevation to higher planets or for economic prosperity, the final aim of which is sense gratification. Every one of us who has come to this material world has this sense of overlordship. This is called pravritti. But the opposite type of religious performance, which is called nivritti, is to act for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Engaged in devotional service, in Krishna consciousness, one has no proprietorship claim, nor is one situated in the false egoism of thinking that he is God or the master. He always thinks himself the servant. That is the process of purifying consciousness. With pure consciousness only can one enter into the kingdom of God. Materialistic persons, in their elevated condition, can enter any one of the planets within this material world, but all are subjected to disillusion over and over again. Text 7. Through the path of illumination, such liberated persons approach the complete personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds, and is the supreme cause of their manifestation and disillusion. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Surya Dvarena means by the illuminated path or through the sun planet. The illuminated path is devotional service. It is advised in the Vedas not to pass through the darkness, but to pass through the sun planet. It is also recommended here that by traversing the illuminated path, one can be freed from the contamination of the material modes of nature. By that path, one can enter into the kingdom where the completely perfect personality of Godhead resides. The words Purusham Vishvato Mukham mean the supreme personality of Godhead who is all perfect. All living entities other than the supreme personality of Godhead are very small, although they may be big by our calculation. Everyone is infinitesimal, and therefore, in the Vedas, the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal amongst all eternals. He is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and the supreme cause of manifestation. Material nature is only the ingredient, because actually the manifestation is caused by his energy. The material energy is also his energy, just as the combination of a father and mother is the cause of childbirth. So the combination of the material energy and the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the manifestation of the material world. The efficient cause is therefore not matter, but the Lord Himself. Text 8. Worshippers of the Hiranyagarbha expansion of the personality of Godhead remain within this material world until the end of two parardhas, when Lord Brahma dies. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One disillusion is at the end of Brahma's day, and one is at the end of Brahma's life. Brahma dies at the end of two parardhas, at which time the entire material universe is dissolved. Persons who are worshippers of Hiranyagarbha, the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, do not directly approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaikuntha. They remain within this universe, on Satyaloka or other higher planets, until the end of the life of Brahma. Then, with Brahma, they are elevated to the spiritual kingdom. The words parasya para chintaka mean always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or being always Krishna conscious. When we speak of Krishna, this refers to the complete category of Vishnu Tattva. Krishna includes the three Purushas, namely Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshay Vishnu, and Shirodakshay Vishnu, as well as all the incarnations taken together. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tistan. Lord Krishna is perpetually situated with his many expansions, such as Ram, Nrisimha, Vamana, Madhusudana, Vishnu, and Narayan. He exists with all his plenary portions and portions of his plenary portions, and each of them is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words parasya para chintaka mean those who are fully Krishna conscious. Such persons enter directly into the kingdom of God, the Vaikuntha planets, Or, if they are worshippers of the plenary portion, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, they remain within this universe until its dissolution, and after that, they enter. Text 9. After experiencing the inhabitable time of the three modes of material nature, known as two parardhas, Lord Brahma closes the material universe, which is covered by layers of earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, ego, etc., and goes back to Godhead. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word avyakritam is very significant in this verse. The same meaning is stated in Bhagavad Gita in the word sanatana. This material world is vyakrita, or subject to changes, and finally it dissolves. But after the dissolution of this material world, the manifestation of the spiritual world, the Sanatana Dham, remains. That spiritual sky is called Avyakrita, that which does not change. And there the Supreme Personality of Godhead resides. When, after ruling over the material universe under the influence of the time element, Lord Brahma desires to dissolve it and enter into the kingdom of God, others then enter with him. Text 10. The yogis, who become detached from the material world by practice of breathing exercises and control of the mind, reach the planet of Brahma, which is far, far away. After giving up their bodies, they enter into the body of Lord Brahma. And therefore, when Brahma is liberated and goes to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Brahman, such yogis can also enter into the kingdom of God. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By perfecting their yogic practice, yogis can reach the highest planet, Brahmaloka or Satyaloka, and after giving up their material bodies, they can enter into the body of Lord Brahma. Because they are not directly devotees of the Lord, they cannot get liberation directly. They have to wait until Brahma is liberated, and only then, along with Brahma, are they also liberated. It is clear that as long as a living entity is a worshipper of a particular demigod, his consciousness is absorbed in thoughts of that demigod, and therefore he cannot get direct liberation or entrance into the kingdom of God, nor can he merge into the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such yogis, or demigod worshippers, are subjected to the chance of taking birth again when there is again creation. Text 11. Therefore, my dear mother, by devotional service, take direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One can attain direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full Krishna consciousness and revive one's eternal relationship with him as a lover, as supreme soul, as a son, as friend, or as master. One can reestablish the transcendental loving relationship with the Supreme Lord in so many ways, And that feeling is true oneness. The oneness of the Mayavadi philosophers and the oneness of the Vaishnav philosophers are different. The Mayavadi and Vaishnav philosophers both want to merge into the Supreme, but the Vaishnavs do not lose their identities. They want to keep the identity of lover, parent, friend, or servant. In the transcendental world, the servant and the master are one. That is the absolute platform. Although the relationship is servant and master, both the servant and the served stand on the same platform. That is oneness. Lord Kapiladeva advised his mother that she did not need any indirect process. She was already situated in that direct process because the Supreme Lord had taken birth as her son. Actually, she did not need any further instruction because she was already in the perfectional stage. Kapiladeva advised her to continue in that same way. He therefore addressed his mother as Bhamini, to indicate that she was already thinking of the Lord as her son. Devahuti is advised by Lord Kapila to take directly to devotional service, Krishna consciousness, because without that consciousness, one cannot become liberated from the clutches of Maya.